Fresno is one step closer to adopting a new program that uses mentoring, behavioral therapy, and life skills training to curb gun violence in the city. Council members voted last week to allocate $200,000 to fund Advance Peace. Now, local leaders and Fresno Police Chief Jerry Dyer have 90 days to submit a proposal detailing how the money will be used, and the council will then vote on it. Moderator Kathleen Schock talks to council members Miguel Arias and Gary Bredefeld, as well as community organizer Aaron Foster, about their takes on the program.
So, Aaron Foster, I want to start with you. Through your work with Faith in the Valley, you have been engaged in the fight to mitigate gun violence in Fresno for a long time. And this is a very personal topic for you, based upon your experience. I'd love for you to share briefly your story and how that has informed your decision to advocate on behalf of Advance Peace.
Well, I've been working for Faith in the Valley for a short year. It'll be a year. It was a year in March. So I started doing the work 6 years ago. My son got killed on Labor Day weekend, and he was a gang member. But 2 years ago, my daughter got killed Labor Day weekend as well, and she was the furthest thing from a gang member you ever met. So with her innocence, it made me work even harder. So then I went to Chicago to try to figure out something besides what was going on in Fresno. And I ran into Devon Bogan, and he explained to me the components of Advance Peace. So I started implementing it in Fresno. And the main component is identifying the shooter and the person most at risk of being shot. I went from door to door because I knew shooters and asked for a favor. And the reason why they said yes, because I tore into the heartstrings of the people that were committing these crimes and asked them, which one of you guys are ready to bury your babies? If it happened to me twice, it can happen to you once. So my daughter, the thing that keeps me motivated every day, she was an activist. She worked with Take a Stand. She was the youth ambassador. And she had been working with them since she was 13 years old. So this is my way of keeping that fire lit and preventing this from happening from other innocent people, as well as changing the mindsets of violent criminals who want to change their life. So the narrative says that we pay gang members not to engage, but anyone that knows a gang member knows that for that minimal amount of money, they will never disengage. So if we change the language just a little and said this is to support violent people into making a transition to functional adults and citizens, then it won't be so hard to swallow.
Great. Thank you so much. I'm going to shift now to Councilmember Bredefeld, who's joining us by phone. You have been a vocal opponent of Advance Peace. Tell us a little bit about why you are in such opposition to this initiative.
Well, first of all, let me say, I've talked with Mr. Foster on several occasions. I have great admiration for what he's trying to do, and my heart breaks for his loss. So it's unspeakable tragedy. I just feel, in terms of my opposition to this, that this is not what taxpayer money ought to be used for. If it's privately funded and people want to invest in that program, that's fine. But for me, one, I don't think taxpayer money ought to be used for that. And two, just on the concept of it, that even in the 6 or 7 months when people who either are engaged in crime, prospectively might be engaged in crime, shouldn't be getting stipends from taxpayers as a way of also continuing not to be in trouble. I mean, this can go in a lot of different directions, from people who could potentially violate the law, and they could justify stipends and other things. It's just not the way you solve the crime problem. You solve the crime problem by having strict, tough criminal laws, which we don't have. They've been neutered. They've been weakened. And you have people pay serious consequences for criminal behavior, which doesn't happen. It used to happen when we had three strikes. People who were criminals and chronic criminals were aware of when their third strike was coming up because they knew they were going to be put away. There were real penalties at that point. And historically, we saw the data crime went down. As soon as that changed, crime has gone up in terms of the weakening of criminal laws with Prop 47, Prop 57, AB 109, releasing criminals. What used to be a felony is now a misdemeanor. What's a misdemeanor is now an infraction.
Right. I appreciate all this background, but I do want to keep the conversation focused on advanced peace. So just to provide a bit of clarity on your position, obviously you are in opposition of using taxpayer funds for the initiative. But I wonder, to what extent is the stipend itself part of why you are opposed to this idea?
Both of them. One, it's a misuse of taxpayer money. Some would argue it's a gift of taxpayer money. But I don't think you get the kind of behavior you want because you give somebody a $500 stipend wherever it goes, wherever it comes from. Whether it's private money or public money, I don't think this program will work or has worked. And the feedback I've gotten from where it's been initiated, from gang task force folks as well as district attorneys, it doesn't work. There isn't the accountability. It's not going to work just on its face. I mean, it just doesn't make even any sense.
Well, but there are others who say that it is working. And I'll get back to you on this point in just a minute. But I want to bring in Councilmember Miguel Arias. So tell us a little bit about sort of where we stand today in terms of this process. You know, nobody has a crystal ball. We don't know what kind of recommendations are going to be presented to the council in 90 days. But I'm wondering from where you sit, do you see this as a significant shift in how the city of Fresno goes about thinking about addressing gun violence?
It's a dramatic shift. And the reason why it's dramatic is we currently have no other alternative. Just to be clear about the problem in the city of Fresno, about 75% of the violent crimes and murders are related to gun violence. We currently have 138 suspected shooters in the city of Fresno identified by the police chief of Fresno that have never been arrested, prosecuted, or convicted. Those are the targets of this intervention program, is folks who have not been arrested by the police chief or prosecuted by the district attorney. These are individuals who commit, have been suspected of a crime, but nobody's willing to be a witness, that continue to be an exposure and a threat to the community. And the fact is, there is no alternative. For the last decade, the police department has not had an intervention program that addresses this particular group of individuals or gun violence in general. Historically, we did have that. We used to have the mayor's gang prevention program. We used to fund ceasefire. All those things went away and nothing was put in place of them. That's why we saw in 2017, the summer of 17, 20 straight days of shootings where people were literally shooting each other in our churches. And each time the spree of violence occurs in our city, it is people like Aaron Foster that are called on by the police department. It is pastors, community leaders who are asked to help reduce the violence, and they have done so successfully in reaction to a significant tragedy. Just this weekend, we had three shootings, including a 10-month-old. And each time it gets out of control, the police chief calls on the community to help reduce it and get control of it. Our position as a council is, let's formalize that relationship. And, you know, we can argue about the specifics of the strategy or the eventual intervention program, but the fact is we need to have a formal intervention program for the suspected shooters that are a significant threat to our community. And if the police chief or the district attorney don't support this model, then have them come up with an alternative. But we need an alternative.
So I'm glad you brought up some of the other initiatives that the city has engaged in the past. You know, Fresno Police Chief Jerry Dyer has indicated his support for advanced peace, at least in theory, although he has some concerns about using taxpayer dollars to fund the initiative. But he also has pointed to other initiatives like the couple that you mentioned as being opportunities to address violence and make the streets safer. Aaron Foster, I'm curious from your perspective, do you think that there is something unique about advanced peace that could make a significant difference in the area, or do you think there's other ways that we could go about addressing this issue other than, you know, this idea? And I understand that advanced peace is more than stipends, but that certainly is at the center of the controversy.
Yes, I think that the thing with advanced peace is that we're using it already. So if you look at the stats in Fresno, the day my daughter died, we went 45 days without one gunshot because I went door to door asking for the favor and tearing into the heartstrings of the shooters. We sustained 48% decrease in gun violence that year, 53% this year. So with the help of the police and ShotSpotter, who don't want to take nothing away from them, but I'm saying the community had a big push in the reduction of this gun violence. So I think that the community should be the one that decide what works, because this initiative that we took to reduce the gun violence has been effective. It's like I always use food analogies. So you can tell me how bad cornbread is for you, but you can't tell me the ingredients that make it taste good. So this is the same thing. I can tell you what it takes, because even 11 months ago, I talked to Captain Salazar and Lieutenant Ramsey and said, these young men are getting restless. We have to find something for them to do. And then in waiting, we have these outbreaks and gun violence in other parts of the city. Because in January, ShotSpotter, we had 3 drive-by shootings in Southwest Fresno. And with the help of ShotSpotter, all 3 people got caught. So now I'm spilling over to other areas of Fresno. But it's the same culprits that are committing this violence. So we have to grab them. The person that shot my daughter hasn't been arrested. He's still free, able to shoot people. So possibly, if he got into this program, we can deter him. But if this is not an asylum, if evidence is gathered and he can be convicted of this crime, they'll take him right out of this program and send him away. But in the meantime, we need to have him doing something besides committing violent acts.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Valley Edition. We're talking with Fresno City Council members Gary Bredefeld and Miguel Arias, along with Aaron Foster of Faith in the Valley Fresno, about the vote last week allocating $200,000 to develop a plan to roll out Advance Peace and perhaps other initiatives to curb gun violence and help keep the streets of Fresno a bit safer. So, Councilmember Bredefeld, I'd like to come back to you. You spoke about sentencing laws already, but another central part of your position in opposition of Advance Peace is to invest money into increasing the police presence in Fresno. You know, some of your critics have said that hasn't worked in the past. Why do you think it would work now?
We don't have enough police to do the enforcement that we need. We need to hire more police officers. We need to hire more for homeless task force officers. Our Jerry Dyer said we needed to quadruple that task force. We need to hire 911 dispatchers. And this notion that this is outdated, it's not outdated, the notion of arresting people who commit crimes. What the problem is, and you mentioned let's stay focused, I mentioned the weakening of criminal laws. That is the heart of what the problem is. The greatest crime deterrent, the greatest way to avoid crime is to make people accountable for their crimes. And that doesn't happen in this state.
But there is an argument that education and access to economic resources is also a deterrent to crime.
Absolutely. And I'm in complete agreement. We don't disagree on that. And we don't disagree on the fact that providing every opportunity for at-risk youth ought to be provided. I'm a strong proponent of services for at-risk youth. I'm a strong proponent for anybody who's at risk to help them. But once they cross the line into crime, then they need to have penalties and there needs to be accountability. And that's what's lacking. There is no accountability. And my colleague said there's no other alternatives. There's 138 suspected shooters never been arrested. Well, you don't provide them a stipend and that's going to prevent them from shooting somebody. We need to have real law enforcement and real laws to deal with people who commit crimes. That doesn't happen. And what's happened now, you know, in terms of people who are out on the street, you used to be able to force people to make a choice. You either get help with your drug problem or you go to jail. Well, now that we've weakened all the laws through 47 and 57, they're now out on the street. And that's what's happening in our city. So to ignore it, to act like, well, we've tried everything. No, we haven't tried everything. What we've done is we've weakened the laws and there's no accountability. That's why there's crime.
There is a philosophical shift taking place against seeing drug abuse as a crime and seeing it as a disease. But that's a topic for another conversation.
Yeah,
Aaron Foster,
course.
You had something you wanted to say.
I just don't think that the laws are weakening for murder. Murder is a life sentence, no matter what. So the laws aren't being weakened for those acts, and people still commit them every day.
So they are being weakened because you can now be an accessory to a murder, and you don't get charged for being an accessory anymore. They've even weakened that. You actually have to be the one who pulls the trigger. You can be there and not even be charged for it. So they have been weakened. All of these laws have been weakened. To act like they haven't been weakened is to ignore reality.
So reality is, if I get a gun and I shoot somebody and I get convicted of that, that law hasn't changed. So that's what I'm speaking into.
Yeah,
I'm not speaking into the accessories. I'm speaking into the people that actually commit these crimes. They get punished to the full extent of the law. And that hasn't been a deterrent in the least. People are still dying.
Well, we would differ on whether or not they are prosecuted to the full extent of the law or that they serve their maximum sentences, because most people are not serving maximum sentences and are getting off for quote-unquote good behavior, and that's why we have a revolving jail and prison system.
You know, I would agree with the council member that a stipend is not going to deter anybody from committing a crime, and the unfortunate part of this conversation around gun violence is that this debate has been reduced to a stipend, when we know that the full program and the totality of prevention is not related to a stipend that's proposed to be paid for by private sector funds. It has been reduced to that on talk radio, on some of the social media outlets. But the fact remains that more officers doesn't equate to lower crime. Today, we have less officers per residence than we did a decade ago, and yet crime has been reducing for a decade. Now, we can discuss what kinds of crimes have increased, from petty theft related to the methamphetamine epidemic or things of that nature, but that we cannot simply afford to continue down the path of incarcerating everyone. That's, you know, we tried that for 30 years, and the state almost went bankrupt. We, as a city, cannot afford to, in this budget alone, cannot afford to add 50 more officers. And we can't even afford to add 2, according to the mayor of Fresno, much less 50 or the 90 more that the police chief believes he needs.
So, if I can interrupt you, what are the economics as you see them in terms of advanced peace versus bringing in more officers?
The economics are this. It costs us an estimated $1 million to investigate a shooting, $1.7 million to prosecute a shooting. It's far cheaper. We're currently spending about $500,000 in ShotSpotter to identify a shooting after it occurred. For me, it is sensible to say, let's spend $200,000 in a prevention program so we can reduce the costs at the back end. Now, can we argue about the components of the program? Of course. We're a policy-making body, and for some, it's more controversial than it is for others. But it is cost prohibitive to simply focus on the reaction and the enforcement after the fact. And even if we did, it still does not address the fact that there's 138 suspected shooters that have never been arrested, prosecuted, or convicted. We have to deal with that reality because, quite frankly, personally, I am frustrated that every time I turn around, we're setting up a scholarship fund for a victim of a shooting. We're setting up, a memorial for a victim of a shooting. We're asking pastors and communities to show up in a press conference and ask for a ceasefire. We are always in the reactive mode of trying to prevent these innocent victims, and it hasn't worked.
So, Councilmember Bredefeld, I'd love for you to weigh in on this a bit. The way you were framing the conversation, it is very much a post-crime approach using the judicial system as a form of deterrent to committing a crime, whereas I would argue that Advanced Peace is taking a proactive approach, keeping people from engaging in gang activities. Do you feel like there is room for a proactive approach to addressing this issue?
Absolutely. I just don't think taxpayer money should be used for providing stipends to people who may or may not commit crimes or have committed crimes in the past. You want to have people work with gang members? Absolutely. I don't have any problem with that. The change that comes from people who engage in criminal behavior is one where they have a change of heart and they recognize this is not a life that I want to be involved in, and it's not going to be changed with a $500 a month stipend. It gets changed with jobs, and it gets changed with enforcement and accountability. And that's the only way you really change people who are involved in criminal activity.
So I think we found some common ground. Aaron Foster, you're nodding.
I definitely agree with it. And that's the thing that this program unwraps. It's not everyone doesn't want to leave that lifestyle, but for the people that do, we want to give them some type of assistance in making the transition. So we totally agree on that thing.
And a big portion of this program, and any program that the council would consider for approval, is to train these individuals and employ them in good paying jobs so that they don't have to rely on a few hundred dollars to engage in a shooting to be able to provide for themselves. And that's, you know, to the point of Councilmember Chavez when he said there's nothing better than a job to prevent crime.
Right. And so, then when we break down that none of the taxpayers' dollars go to the individuals enrolled.
So we're talking about creating an enormous shift in a city in which there are several factors that contribute to violence and gang activities. Advanced Peace is a program that has had some results in some communities. In others, it has just gotten off the ground, and we'll see whether or not it is successful. But my point is that there is an element of risk associated with this. There is no magic bullet. We do not know whether or not it's going to work. Councilmember Bredefeld, I'm wondering if the past experiences of other communities have at all shaped your thinking around this initiative.
You mean where this program has been in place?
Is that
what you're referring?
Yes.
Well, the feedback that I've gotten from other places is that it has not been effective, that people who have run this program haven't worked with law enforcement, and they just simply don't feel that it's effective. And so that's the feedback that I've received. I haven't seen one professional study done, and I mean professional. I'm not talking about anecdotal data. Professional study that's done that's proven the effectiveness of this program. There isn't one. Councilmember Arias has brought in some information that's, you know, been more anecdotal, and that's fine. That has value. But there's, you know, there's a difference between a professional study being done and people espousing a point of view like we're all doing right now. And there hasn't been any validated study done in a professional manner that shows that this program works.
You know, Councilmember Bredefeld, and I would agree with you on that there hasn't been, you know, a study completed by the research body of, you know, Berkeley or USC on this program that I'm aware of. But at the same time, this budget that we're about to adopt tomorrow includes $14 million more for the police department. And we didn't consider any research study to determine that we needed to add $14 million. It also includes a 10% salary raise for our police officers. We didn't engage in a conversation about a research study to determine that our officers deserve a salary increase. So every year when we debate adding more police officers, bike officers to the Tower District or the Shaw Corridor, none of those things are ever considered in the backdrop of is there research to determine or to support the fact that these additional officers would reduce crime. What we have done, and which I do believe is the right thing to do, is we got to do a little bit of everything. I compare this to the dropout crisis. We know there isn't a silver bullet to address a dropout problem in any city. You have to do a little bit of a lot of things. And in my view, we have historically invested a lot in public safety reacting to crimes that are being committed. The economy has been the biggest driver of lowering and reducing crime in the city of Fresno. A lower unemployment rate means less crime being committed. But we still have to do something around the prevention of gun violence in our city. And absent of regulating the Second Amendment, which would be far more controversial in our community, we have to figure out how to deal with the gun violence in our streets.
Well, I wish we had more time to talk about this, but unfortunately, we have to wrap up this conversation. Miguel Arias, Aaron Foster, Gary Bredefeld, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.